sing that song? U2. Not U2, U2 with Bono. This song was written in just a real short period of time, about 10 minutes, rehearsed 10 minutes, practiced 10 minutes, and then laid down the track in 10 minutes. But that's not the reason it's called 40. It was in the 1983 album of the U2, and they were laying down. They needed one more track on their War album, and they played this song. And it's not the song about the 40 minutes, as some might suggest. It is literally straight from the scripture of Psalm 40. As we're going through this series, the part of that song that just kept resonating and reverberating off my soul is, how long will I sing this song? You ever felt that way? You know, there are times in my life that I have felt completely overwhelmed, feeling like I couldn't keep my head above the water, or I wasn't sure I could. Felt like the more and more I struggled, the deeper I painted myself into a corner. No matter how hard I seemed to try, I just kept digging myself into a pit. In those times of my life, stress level goes up, blood pressure goes up, weight goes up, stress and anxiety, all those things, weights up, but sleep is less, joy gets less, effectiveness gets less, spiritual attacks become more and more, relationships strain. Anybody feel me this morning? Anybody ever been there? Anybody there now? Of course we are. Before I go further, I just kind of, you know, I want to tell you something I'm just asking you as your friend, but also as your pastor, whoever's preaching the next week, you ought to put them on your prayer list. Because before you can effectively preach a message, you have to eat that message. Sometimes that message don't taste too good, does it, Pastor Lee? You know, you got to live it. You got to experience it. And I'm very grateful for Pastor Aleem and for you and for the elders. Last week, Karen and I were on our way back. We slept in on Sunday. We were down in Marble Falls for 3 nights just trying to kind of recoup and get to know each other once again. Karen and I's path crossed so many different times. And you ever have it happen that the moment that you get back, then that very life that you were seeking to enrich, it just gets sucked right out of you? Man, you're on vacation, and you know there's this reason they make that statement, you need a vacation from your vacation. But sometimes it's really more just life hits us. And, you know, we all have experienced that. You have, we have. Some have experienced the pit. Some may currently be in the pit. Or one day you're going to go and get thrown in the pit. A bad report from the doctor. Receipt of a pink slip at work. The betrayal of a friend that you thought would be a lifelong friend. The unfaithfulness of a spouse that said, I do until death do us part. And instead they parted first. Students, too many expectations at school and too many classes and too much homework and trying to juggle that with that in your relationships. The stress that we face as working adults of trying to make ends meet when the budget and the income don't meet, or any other overwhelming problem. And it's in those moments, in those pits, and many other different situations, they shove us into these pits and we begin to be overwhelmed and covered up with feelings of helplessness and desperation and discouragement and exhaustion and dejection and a whole other host of emotions and struggles. And though we are followers of Jesus Christ, we struggle. Can we make it? Can we take the next step? Can we get through the next day? Oh God, where is the joy of my salvation? Can I get a witness? Is anybody hearing me out there? You think because we're a Christian that we don't get thrown in the pits, but this morning as we continue our message series called Honest Emotions to a Listening God, it is okay to talk to God about the pits that we are thrown into or that we dive into ourselves. And this morning, I want you to understand as we peel back the layers of Psalm chapter 40, and you can turn there now if you will, that this psalm is an indication to us that we're not alone. This psalm is an indication that we're not the only ones that feel like we do. This was written by King David, and you got the precursor to some of this, and you heard last week from Pastor Aleem, is where King David, because he wasn't doing what he was supposed to do, he drug himself down into a pit that he had to cry out to God to get out of. But this was not a one-time deal for King David. King David was constantly in and out of the pit when you start reading about his life and his struggles. And we can learn from what God wants, and we've already heard that no matter what pit we're in, that God can help us. But sometimes we just need to be reminded of that. And we need to be reminded that God never allows a pit that he doesn't want us to participate in. Now hear me when I say this. If God doesn't allow it, would it happen? If God is all-powerful and all-knowing and ever-present, do you not think that that there's a reason why we experience the pit? And we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. If you take nothing else that I say this morning, I want you to hear this. I want you to be encouraged. No pit is permanent, and every pit has a purpose. Whatever it is that you're experiencing, maybe it's not today, but maybe it's going to be next week, or maybe you just came out of it. I want you to understand that no pit is permanent, and every pit has its purpose. God is still on his throne, and while he doesn't always promise us to get us through it, out of a situation, he always promises to get us through it if we're holding on to his hand. This morning, I just wanted to share with you on this new series, this series I'm calling The Pit, because that's the only way I know how to describe it. And for us to understand the pit, we need to look at some realities of the pit. If you have your Bibles again, Psalm chapter 40, I want you to pay. We'll start off with verse number 2, and King David is crying out. He said, God, he brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. Here's what I want you to understand. Every king and every prince of God, every child of God is going to have moments in the pit. And we might get out of one and fall right in another if we don't understand what God is trying to do in the moment. And even then, we might fall in another pit. And Paul here mentioned, or not Paul, the psalmist here writes here of several descriptive words of what that feels like. And the first thing that he says is that the pit is no fun. It is a pit of destruction. And we learned a few weeks back in John chapter 10 that, and my life verse is the second part of chapter 10, that Jesus says, I'm come that I might, that you might have life and have it to the full. Does anybody want a full and joyful life? I do. But I want to focus on that, but you got to back up and read the first part of that, because there's a warning statement that the thief, the enemy, Satan, old slewfoot, old ugly, he has come to kill, steal, and destroy, and he wants you to be in the pit of destruction. He wants to wear us out and tear us up and throw us away. When you look in the Bible and you look at this thing called a pit, there's different ways that a pit is used in the Bible. It may be referred to as a cistern. Now, that's not the cistern and the brethren. It's a hole in the ground that was dug, so when the rains came, it could be filled. And out in those times when they were walking through deserts, they would come up upon a pit that was full of fresh water, and they would find life. Now, man, that'll go somewhere, and that'll preach all day. We'll talk about that a little bit more on Wednesday. See, the pit is meant for us to experience life that will save our life. Some pits were dug. There were some pits that were dug to store things in. And to be there when, if someone were to come and uncover the top dirt, they could get what they needed. But most of the time that we look at pits in the Bible, we see that those pits were meant for imprisonment, to keep one under control. You remember the story of Joseph? Remember Joseph? Joseph was going about his business, and he was just being a kid, a teenager, bragging about and just sharing with his exuberance to his brothers about what he saw. Now, it didn't make him very happy because he told them one day they were going to bow down to him, and they just got sick of it. They felt like he was the favorite child, and you know, where did they throw him? They threw him in a pit, and it wasn't pleasant in the pit. But they threw him in the pit, and his brother said, let's throw him in the pit instead of killing him, and maybe someone will come along and he won't be destroyed. Sometimes the pit is for our own protection. Man, I might just start preaching this morning. There's one thing about getting away and then listening to Pastor Aleem's sermon. I think I got saved three times this week listening to the podcast. I'm telling you, if you hadn't listened to that podcast, you need to get on our website and listen. That's one of the best sermons I have ever heard in my life, and I kid you not, and I'm not blowing smoke. Man, sometimes we just need to be reminded of who God is. And here in Genesis chapter 37, brothers were discussing, it says, now let's come and throw Joseph. Let us kill him. Let us throw him into one of the pits, and we will say a wild beast devoured him. Then let us see what would become of his dreams then. But Reuben, his older brother, said, rescued him out of their hands and said, let's not take his life. Let's just throw him in the pit and leave him alone. Man, sometimes we feel like get thrown in the pit and we're all alone. Anybody? That those that we believe we could trust walk away. There are people out there that are evil and mean for us to have harm. And so he describes this pit of not being fun. No pit is fun. And then he uses another descriptive that's very interesting. He calls it the miry clay, the miry muck. Does anybody that ever describe what you feel like you've gone through, get stuck in the mud? In Jeremiah chapter 38, verse 6, Jeremiah is just doing what God has called him to do. They get angry with him. It says, then they took Jeremiah and cast him into the cistern or the pit of Malchagah, the king's son, which was in the court of the guardhouse. And they let Jeremiah down with ropes. And now in the cistern there was no water, but only mud. And Jeremiah sank in the mud. Sometimes there's those minutes in our life where we just feel like we're sinking deeper and deeper and deeper, and we can't get out of it, and we don't understand. And sometimes, honestly, we just cry out to God, where are you, God? Why am I here? Why are you allowing this? The best example that I came up with, and the memories just came flooding back as I was reading this psalm. And how many of you have been to Israel? How many have been to the Dead Sea? You know, they call it the Dead Sea Experience, to where people pay a lot of good money to go to the Dead Sea and float in the sea. You can't swim in the Dead Sea. It's like seven times the amount of salt as the ocean has. And the minerals and everything, the way it's made up, is that you don't go in head first. You just kind of lean back and you just float. And I haven't done it yet because I didn't want that gross stuff all over me. But I loved watching, and I watched a lot of our people here at Connect. But before they could float and enjoy the blessing of the Dead Sea, of floating and being lifted up and held up, they had to go through the muck. And there's a place probably as wide as this stage, and you start walking down, and the minute that you step into the mud, they started trying to catch their balance because they would sink deeper and deeper. Now they're knee-deep, and I would sit there and watch them. And, you know, some of our folks got some good moves. And it's, and that so describes our life. Before sometimes we can get to the blessings of being held up and enjoying what life is supposed to be and what God has promised, that life ever abundance, we have to go through the muck. And it's difficult, and it's hard to hold our balance, and we get frustrated, at least I do. And like King David said here in verse 12 of chapter 40, you get these overwhelming feelings. He says, for evils beyond number have surrounded me. I'm not going to be able to get out of this. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I am not able to see. Can't see around the corner, can't see over the... You can't see what's going to happen next, and you're wondering. He says, they are more numerous than the hairs of my head. That means all to have left problems now, right? Lame brother, you don't have any problems, do you? No, but he's describing an emotion where he is overwhelmed because the muck, the miry clay, this pit that he's in, he's like, and he knows what's right. He knows what God can give him. But he's wondering, how do I get out of this pit? Now, how do you get in the pit? Well, I think Psalm 40:12 tells us a couple of ways. One is others throw us in the pit. There are external reasons that we go in the pit. I mean, think about it for a second. There are external physical reasons. You know, we live in an environment now that has so polluted our food and our water and our environment that, you know, you can be a secondhand citizen, you know, just secondhand, just living your life, and all that stuff is affecting us, and more cancer and more diseases and more asthma and all the stuff. I didn't do it. I just went down to Kroger and bought me a chicken breast, and I'm thinking, my gosh, I want to live where that farm is. It must be next to Chernobyl as big as that chicken breast is. I ain't never seen a chicken that has a breast that big, have you? And we pollute, and so physical things sometimes will drag us into a pit of physical disability. Nobody earns cancer. Nobody deserves cancer. It may be financial. Maybe you were, from a very early age, you invested money or you did whatever, and all of a sudden the stock market crashed, and it wasn't due to your fault. It was external sources, and now you're in the pit wondering how you're going to pay your bills. Wondering how you're going to take care of your kids and provide food on the table and clothes. Oh, and Christmas is coming. How am I going to do that? It's not your fault. There's also relational issues. You know, I have yet to counsel a couple to marry that says, I do, and somebody says, well, I might do. I've never heard that. But we get married, and you're doing what you think is right. You've done everything you're supposed to do, even according to Scripture. And your spouse, because they have free will, they walk away from the relation and you're in the pit. You didn't cause it, but you're there. And it hurts and it's dark and it's causing all those feelings. Spiritual. I just have to tell you, sometimes we just have to know that not no fault to our own, the enemy wants to put you in a spiritual pit, and he brings everything in the kitchen sink after you. He's attacking you, and it doesn't feel good to be oppressed, does it? And it puts us in a pit. And sometimes, here he says, my enemies have surrounded me in evils. But then look what David says in verse 12. My iniquities have overtaken me. My iniquities. Sometimes we throw ourselves in the pit. Let's talk about physical. Okay, my mom lives out in an apartment complex now in Mansfield, and it's amazing to me when I see people who are barely able to get around. They're taking oxygen bottles with them, and guess where you see them? You see them sitting outside smoking a cigarette. I don't understand that, and I'm not going to a doctor that smokes. We complain about being overweight and all that kind of stuff. And I remember the comedian said, if you put in a lot of fat, greasy food, you become a fat, greasy dude. And we wonder and we complain and we're in the pit of bad health and high blood pressure. Here I'm preaching to myself. And we complain about that. Our finances, maybe we invest in the wrong thing. Maybe we can't turn on QVC without buying something. Maybe, for those of you who don't know what QVC, it's the old man's Amazon. Amazon Prime pops up and we click. And we've got credit cards beyond credit cards beyond credit cards. And we just say, you know, hey, it keeps coming. And we keep maxing it out. And then we get in this pit of despair about how, when it all comes due, we're in this financial pit or relational pits. We are so desperate for having relationship and wanting to be needed and wanting to be loved and wanting to love and all those things that many times we make wrong choices and we go into the places. I mean, do we really, really expect to have great relationships with people who already have a bad track record? Do we really have... I mean, by the grace of God, and only by the grace of God, and only to His glory and praise, am I married to my wife, and we've stayed married all these years. But it wasn't because of what I did, because what we saw so many of our friends. I met Karen in a bar when I was early, 22, 23, and I wasn't living for the Lord. She didn't know the Lord. And our friends, many of them did that, and every single one of them have been divorced. Do we really think that it's not part of our struggle? We move in with somebody, and we start sleeping with them, we start playing house, we start playing family, and yet research tells us that the statistic is when you live with someone and sleep with someone before you're married, your statistics go so high about divorce. And then it doesn't happen, or it does happen, we don't get the relationship, or the relationship falls apart, and we fall into a relational pit. Spiritual pits, self-induced. You cannot feed if you do not read. Come on now, I better get a witness to that. Ain't nobody here, and that's bad grammar, but it's good theology, ain't nobody here is going to spoon feed you. If all you get for feeding for your spiritual soul is on Sunday morning, you're anemic throughout the week. You're weak and you're atrophy. And we wonder why we're so dry physically and spiritually and financially. It's because we get ourselves in a mess. Those are the realities of the pit. Either someone put us there or we put ourselves there. Those are our realities. And those I keep thinking about, I was thinking about, man, putting ourselves there. It kind of reminds me of you know, when you're a young male and you get your driver's license. It doesn't matter what kind of car that you own. You're going to try to put that thing through its paces. You're going to try to see how fast that little 69 Volkswagen Bug will go. You're going to see, and you see a field out there, and you think, man, that would be so much fun to go out there and do donuts in that field, but it rained last night. Oh, I think I can do it. And so you get out there in the middle, and sure enough, you get going real fast, and all of a sudden that Volkswagen goes, voo. I did that to myself. Nobody did that for me. And I was afraid to call out to Daddy because I was afraid what he was going to do to me when he realized I'd done that to myself. And some of us are like that spiritually. We get ourselves into a mess, and then instead of listening to the truth, we listen to a lie, and we hear the devil say, God's not going to love you anymore. He's not going to forgive you anymore. And you heard last week, all we got to do is confess, and God will clean us up and restore us. He'll pull us out of the muck. Some of us are in that boat today. We're afraid that we've got some sins that we don't want God to know. I got news for you. As Pastor Aleem said, He already knows them. He already knows that you're out there in the mud that you did yourself or that you were thrown in. So how do we respond? Those are our realities. You're going to be in a pit, you are in a pit, or you've been in a pit. You're either going to get put there by yourself or through circumstances or others who are out and have thrown you in the pit. So how do we respond? Pit life is part of being a Christian. Amen? Just needing to know that up front. So what are our responses? Go back to Psalm chapter 40, verse 1. Here we see King David, a man after God's own heart, who's constantly in and out of the pit. Now, much of his was external, and most of his was emotional. Here's what he said. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. Now, here's how we normally respond when we get in a pit. Some of us try to ignore it. I'm not in a pit. Everything's all good. How many times do we lie every Sunday morning? How you doing? I'm doing great. Come on now, how many lied this morning? Now, you don't need that. You're supposed to raise your hand. We lie. We try to just ignore it and somehow think that if we just ignore it, it's going to go away and it didn't happen. Let me tell you something in recovery ministry, that ever you'll know this. Denial is not a river in Egypt. Some of y'all catch that this afternoon probably. Ignoring will not get you out of the pit. You're just in the pit. And just ignoring it, you're just going to sink deeper and deeper and deeper. I'm not in the pit, I'm not in the pit, I'm not in the pit, I'm not in the pit. That's how many of us, we ignore it. The second thing we do is if I'm stuck in the mud, you know what I remember about that Volkswagen? I got stuck in the pit, and so I struggled to get out of that mud. You know, and mud's going everywhere. I wasn't the only one in the car, so I said, hey, man, you guys, y'all give it gas, and I'll get behind it. just, I mean, I looked like I had fallen in the pit face first, because I had. We struggle. Guess what? I was still in the pit. I was still in the mud. And so many of us, in our own strength, we get ourselves in a mess, or we're in a mess, and instead of, we know we're there, we're not going to ignore it, but instead of turning to God, we said, I can pull myself up by the bootstraps and I can do this myself. I'll start tomorrow. I got this. I'll just read my Bible more. I'll start tithing again. Oh, I'll sign up and be one of the volunteers at church. In our own strength, and those are not bad things, trust me, but when we do it in our own strength, it's not the right thing. We don't do what we do because we're struggling. We need to turn to God, and we struggle. We try to get ourselves out of the pit. We deny it, you're not getting out of the pit. You struggle on your own. It's just like being down there at that Israel. The more they struggled, the deeper they got. And so you have to just keep taking one step forward and go slow. And here's what David says. He said, I waited upon the Lord. And that's the third thing we do. Many times we ignore it, or we struggle on our own, and we realize we can't get out on our own. Then we seek help from others, just not God. Can I just say this morning that Oprah hasn't got the answers to your questions? Dr. Oz is not the cure-all. Your best friend next door is not going to tell you how to get out of that pit if they're not pointing you to the one who can get you out of the pit. We all have those friends that will give us their best advice, right? And we all are those kinds of friends. Well, here's what I think you ought to do. And how many times we turn to others, and that's what we normally do. And maybe we might temporarily get out of the pit. But let me tell you what. Most people don't want to help someone in the pit. Why? Because they don't want to go down in the pit with them. That's a big fat lie that says misery loves company. That's a lie. Nobody wants to be in that pit with you. So a lot of times it's in the depths of despair. I have a song on my ringtone for my closest friends, and it says, you find out who your friends are. Friend, when you're in the pit, you find out who your friends are. And there is a friend that is closer than any other. His name is Jesus Christ. He says, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. And it may be impossible with you, but it is not impossible with me. I can do this. We seek help. And so instead of denying it, instead of struggling with it, instead of seeking help from others, we need to turn to God. And this is what David did, which made him a man after God's own heart. Not his sin, his response to sin. Not the pit, but how he responded of getting out of the pit. And you heard that last week. It begins with confession. But confession's not going to get you out of the pit. Repentance throws the rope to rescue. You can say, yep, I'm in the pit, I confess. But see, repenting is turning from that and going a different way from what you're trying to. And the way we do that is we turn away from what we're trying to do. We turn to God, and He is our rescue. He is our deliverer. Amen. And here we see David says in another place, and again, another one of his pits. Psalm 69, verses 1 and 2, he cries out at another time in his life, says, save me, O God. Anybody been there? Save me, O God, for the waters have threatened my life. I've sunk in deep mire, and there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters, and a flood overflows me. Pit happens. It does. To a man after God's own heart. But the reason that David is able, and we're going to talk about next week, you don't want to miss next week, because we're going to move from the pit to the pinnacle. We're going to move from getting out of that dungeon into the places where we can cry out to God. Next week we're going to talk about praising God. It's hard to praise God sometimes. But listen to what he says in Isaiah 40, chapter 31. Isaiah the prophet, one of my favorite verses. I collect eagles, but part of it's because of this verse. It says, he gives strength to the weary. Anybody weary? And to him who lacks might, he increases power. Anybody need power? Anybody feeling weak spiritually, mentally, all that? He says, though youths grow weary and tired and vigorous young men stumble badly, doing it in their own strength, yet those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength. Man, I don't know about you, but I believe today God wants to give some of you some new strength. I think God wants to put our feet out of that muck and put it on a solid rock to where we can catch our breath and we can give every breath that we have praising Him and honoring Him. He says, they will mount up with wings like eagles. There ain't no stuck here, is there? He says, they will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Somebody ought to get excited about that. Somebody ought to get excited that God wants to take you out of the pit and help you fly. Oh, by the way, there's a really unique quality about the Dead Sea before I forget. I don't want to miss this. I don't want you to miss this. People pay good money, big money for Dead Sea mud products. You see them get in there and people just rub that mud all over their face, all over their arms, all over their legs. And then they let it bake in that hot Israeli sun, and it bakes on them. But you know what I've discovered? That when the mud is washed off, it had its purpose, and it started sucking out all them blackheads and all that those bad. You know what? Don't get spiritual. Y'all got blackheads just like I do. If you don't believe that, ask your wife. She'll look in your ear for you, okay? But ladies will go in that Dead Sea store and hundreds of dollars buying mud because they know when it's applied and it's rinsed off and they're cleansed. Another thing Pastor Aleem talked about last week, the freshness, the vigor, the renewal, the skin tone. Friends, let me tell you something. When you're in the muck, man, you might as well just dive head in and get all the nutrients that it is, because when we confess our sins, our God is faithful and just to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And as He washes us white as snow with the crimson blood that was spread on the cross of Jesus Christ, man, we get a different skin tone. All that impurity that was in our body, when we confess, it comes out and it's gone. And man, we look good. Man, that, you know what? That Dead Sea mud can even make me look good. Well, it had maybe a little more work to do. But listen, in Psalm 130, he says, I wait for the Lord. David says, I wait for the Lord. You got to wait it out. We want to get out of it too quick instead of asking why we're in it and how long God wants us to be in it. God isn't on our timetable. You hear me? God isn't on your timetable. He's on His, and He's got a purpose in everything that He does, in everything that He allows. Romans 8:28 is true or it's not. It says all things work together for good. It doesn't say some. It says all things but the pit work for God. No, everything works for good to them who are called by His name and according to His purpose. God sometimes allows us, and always allows, it never happens if He doesn't allow, so that we can have all the impurities and go through those struggles, so those impurities and our bad attitudes and our bad mouths and our bad habits can be sucked out of us and washed clean. Man, this is exciting stuff to me. And he says, I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and in His word do I hope. Did you catch that? That while we're in the pit, we're still in the Word. We're still trusting in the promises, and we're relying that God will do what He says He will do when He wants to do it. But He who began a good work in you, He is faithful, He will do it, and He will complete it. That's our God. That's our God. And so, in closing, really quick, I just want you to know there's realities of the pit. You're not going to avoid it. There's responses that you get to choose from, and they have different things. But I want you to know the reasons for the pit. We've already alluded to some of those. In verse number 2, we see, in verse number 4 and 5, I'm sorry, it says, how blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust, has not turned to others, says, has not turned to pride, or to the proud, nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders which you have done, and your thoughts towards us. I like to say me. O God, there is none to compare to you. None. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. Psalm 40, verse 11, he said, oh, you, O Lord, will not withhold your compassion from me, your loving kindness of your truth. continually preserve me. And here we see two things in these couple of verses. Number one, the reason for the pit is revelation. The number one reason for the pit is revelation. God wants to show you some things. Number one, He wants you to recognize that He's God and you're not. That's my biggest problem. God wants to recognize, He wants to reveal Himself to you so that you can see Him. And sometimes it is only in the pit that we look up. You see throughout the Old Testament, we see the children of Israel when things were going good and they were bebopping down the road and they had a hard time turning to God. Every time, though, you see things got tough and they were out in the desert or they were in captivity. Where did they turn? They turned and their eyes looked up to God, where their help comes from. Friends, we need to learn to look up before we need the help. Reasons for the pit is He wants to remind us of who God is. The second is, He says, not withhold your compassion from me. Your loving kindness will continually preserve me. When we recognize who God is, He will reveal who we're not. And the hardest thing for Jay McFadden, and you put your name in there, is to confess and acknowledge that I'm not in charge. I'm not the boss. He is. Giving up control is one of the hardest things that we do. But when you recognize who He is, there's something that happens. When you truly recognize who He is, the secondary is a recognition of who we are and are not. What I love about it is I recognize who I'm not in my own strength. But when I reflect on who He is and what He did on the cross, I recognize who I am in Christ Jesus, and I am a child of the living King, open to all His inheritance. It's all mine. He's provided that for us. I am not just a poor pity party. I am a child of the King. But we have to recognize first, in order to become a child of the King, you have to recognize that on your own you're not. Look what He says in verse 17 to chapter 40. Since I am afflicted and needy, can I get a witness? Some of us are afflicted and needy. Let the Lord be mindful of me. God, I need you. It's an old hymn. I need thee every hour. Every hour I need thee. You, God, are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, oh my God. Man, I've been there. Oh God, hurry. I'm drowning. I can't catch my breath. Deliver me, oh God. I get King David. You? But then something miraculous happens when we're in the pit. Just don't want you to imagine there's a deep, dark hole, and you're right there, and you're waist deep, and you're sinking even further, and there's witnesses. They're looking down there and say, yeah, you're in the pit. God must be punishing you. You must have done something wrong. I told you. But see, God has a purpose that where we're in the pit, that He can reveal Himself to others through how we respond in the pit. You ever met somebody that got the pink slip, or you got the letter from the doctor? I'll never forget. A lady in my church in Stuttgart, young lady in her 30s, she came down with terminal brain cancer, aggressive. Cheryl was her name. And I remember Karen and I going over to the hospital, watching her as her body wasted away, watching as the life was being drained from her eyes, until she started talking about Jesus. You know what? Everybody on the floor that had treated Cheryl knew the name of Jesus. Today, Cheryl has a new body and a new home. There's no illness and there's no weakness. And she was a faithful servant who went out doing what God called her to do, even in the pit. 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. It's people watching you as you're going through the same stuff they're going through. And it's how you're handling it, because you're looking up instead of looking down. You're looking up instead of looking around. You're looking up and they're watching that. And when they see that, yeah, you have all the same struggles, but yet there's something different. Your skin looks different. Yeah. They see it, and so the third reason for being in the pit is a revelation to others. And King David cried out in verse 30, verse number 3, we just sang, he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. I pray that I'll be like Job in the midst of the pit when he cried out, and he had learned how good God really was and recognized. He said, God, even though you slay me, I will put my trust in you. God doesn't waste what he's doing in your life. Whatever you're going through right now, and some of it may be really miry, mucky, stinky stuff, you got to know that God has a purpose. Verse 16 says, let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. We're a revelation to others. It's an encouragement to me when I see fellow believers when they're fighting the good fight. It encourages me in my faith. It encourages me when they struggle and yet they're still turning and holding on to Jesus. But it's also an encouragement to those on the outside, the non-believers. Psalm 40, verses 15 and 16, look what it says, non-believers. Let those be ashamed and humiliated together who seek my life to destroy it. Let those be turned back and dishonored who delight in my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame to me and say, ha ha, uh-huh. See, all of that that's happening, God can use. There's nothing God can't use for his glory. And rescue brings relief. Rescue brings rejoicing. And rescue brings redirection. There is purpose in the pit. There is purpose in the pit. So all of this to say this. So what? So what? Are you currently in a pit? Are you tired of where you're at? You got to be tired of it to get out of it. Some people, quite frankly, there comes times where you just kind of, you're just happy to be in the pit. You ever been around somebody like that? They're pitiful. That'll preach right there, y'all. They're in the pit. You got to want out of the pit. You got to want out of the pit. And are you currently in a pit? Do you want out of it? Are you tired of struggling in the pit? You know you're in the pit. You're struggling. It's that recurring thing that Pastor Aleem talked about. It's over and over, and you're still struggling, and you're getting deeper and deeper, and it seems it's getting darker, and you're getting covered up. Do you want out? Then cry out. Psalm 40, verse 17 talks about acknowledging our situation, but we also have to acknowledge the Savior. And when you look at Psalm 40 from a different light and step back in view of Jesus Christ, you can see that Psalm 40 is more of a powerful praise than it is a pity party prayer. You see, when you really start looking at it, it's not David saying, help me, help me, help me, oh poor is me. He's saying, God, I know you'll help me. You've done it before and you will do it again. Yeah, get out of it. You see, because when we realize on the other side of the pit is the pinnacle of praise, and we can make it that when God, we realize that God's love is more than enough. God's power is more than enough. God's mercy is more than enough. God's grace is more than enough. God is more than enough for your pit. And this morning, he wants to rescue you from that pit. But here's what you've got to do first. You got to acknowledge that you're in the pit. Admit it. And then you've got to turn to him and say, God, I don't want to be in the pit anymore. Help me. And then, check this out. Don't miss this. Remember that story I was telling you about the Dead Sea when they would get ready to come in back into the shore? Interesting phenomenon would take place. I was so proud of our people, but you saw this in everybody that did it. People from our church would go in there and they'd get in that mud and then they'd come back out. They got to come back through the mud to get back on shore. But there were people on shore that were reaching out and helping them get back on shore. What a great picture of this whole process. That God allows us to go through the muck, and then there are times where we just rest in him. But at some point we got to re-engage come back onto the shore. And there's people who love you. God, who's loving, he's holding his hand out. And he's saying, just take me by the hand. And he has a church that says, we'll help you, but you got to get back on the shore. You can't just stay floating. And there's so many Christians out there today. We want the floating experience without the pit experience. So what's God asking you to do this morning? I believe there's an invitation this morning for you to take the lid off the pit. This morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, just doing business with God. Honest emotions with a listening God. This morning, would you just simply tell him, if you're in a pit, say, God, I'm in a pit. God, I confess that I put myself here. Or you may call out to God, God, you know I'm a pit and I didn't put myself here, but I'm wondering why I'm in the pit. God, why? Be honest with him this morning. Cry out to him. And then you start beginning to just kind of begin to hear that knock on your heart, that still small voice that says, I hear you. I'm attentive to your cry. I'm listening. Here's my hand. Come on, reach up. Take me by the hand. Come on. You can do it. I got this. I've got you. I've got your situation. And what I want to do is I want to just flood you with my grace and my mercy. And I want you to experience the refreshing of your soul. This morning, you've never, ever had an encounter with Jesus Christ where you've said yes, where you recognized that he is who he says he is, but you've never said yes to Jesus. You know of Jesus, but you don't know Jesus. Today is the day to come out of the pit. But this is also for us who are believers who, you know, it's kind of like we do a belly flop right back into the pit. And this morning you'd say, man, I just feel unclean. Man, I feel nasty. I feel dirty. God, this morning I want to be cleansed. That sin that you keep pointing out to me, today, God, I admit it. I confess it. And today, with your help, I repent from it, turn from it, and allow you to cleanse me of it and put it away. Some of you here this morning need to view this front area here as the altar and come and lay that experience in the pit at the altar. See it as an experience of you reaching your hand out to the rescuing hand of God, who will never leave you or forsake you. I promise you this, the scripture says that if you will draw near to him, in other words, reach out to him, he says, I will draw near to you. He will reach out and take you by the hand and pull you out of that nasty, miry muck of sin and go with you until he does. Father, in Jesus' name and the power of your Holy Spirit, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God. I thank you for the rough week that I had. God, I thank you that you listened to me even in the midst of emotional trauma and struggle and defeat. God, you are a true God. Your word is true. You are truth. God, you never broke a promise. And I thank you that you have given me again once and welled up within me this sense of praise for who you are. God, I want nothing more than that for your people this morning. God, I want men and women and students all over this place to feel the refreshing experience of having all of that stuff washed off of them and be cleaned. Oh, God, please don't let us leave here and just have had a church experience. God, we want a Christ experience. Holy Spirit, do your work. Do your work. As God leads you, this altar is yours.